I'm sorry for myself. Hey, world, I'm sorry for myself. Hey, world, I'm sorry for myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Kempo, California, with Instant Illumination. Hey, world, I'm sorry for myself. You ever say that? Did you ever tell another person you had a hurt? Did you ever tell another person you had a sorry? Did you ever tell another person that your life wasn't just as wonderful as it could be? Whenever we tell another person our life is not perfect and whole and fantastic, we're saying we are a bad manager. We are a bad manager of our life. We are a bad manager of our experiences. We are a bad manager of who we are. Now, a little child brings their drawing to the parent and says, "Look, isn't this wonderful?" And the parent wisely says, "Tell me all about it." Not what it is or what they think it is or what they know it is. You tell me what it's all about. You, kid, who have drawn this, tell me what it's all about because you are the genius. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, tell me all about it. Describe it to me. And the child describes it. And when the child is done describing it, it looks nothing at all like your attitude would be that that thing should look like. But that's what the child describes it as. And he is so proud that that's his description. Now, what you do is you say, you are a genius. You are really fantastic. You are really amazing. I am so happy to see what you do and how you do it because you do it so wonderfully and so perfectly and so beautifully all the time. Now, if the child were to come to the parent and say, I like my drawing. Gee, that's a nice house, the mother would say. That's not a house. That's my heart. I'm sorry. You see, we don't let ourselves define what we see. We let other people define what we see. Now, if we could ask the child, what is this that you have, not what it is to act as though you're stupid, but say, well, describe it to me. Tell me all about it, because that looks so exciting what you've done here. Tell me all about it. And they'll tell you all about it. And they will be proud to tell you all about it. And tomorrow, they'll bring another picture to you, totally different, perhaps more evidential, but totally different. And they'll say, I drew this. You did? Tell me about it. And they describe it as the same thing they described yesterday. Now that's today. And today they're painting it differently. And tomorrow they'll paint it differently. And the next day they'll paint it differently. Now, how do they see it? They see it as a dog. As a happy dog wagging its tail. You see it as just a blur of dirt. And next day, they say, guess what I did? And no, you tell me, describe to me what you've done, because it's so beautiful. It's a dog wagging its tail. And it's different from the day before, because every day they come up with a new interpretation of what life means to them. Every day they come up. Now, the mother, who says to her child, when the child comes in with an injured knee, oh dear, let me see that. And she kisses it with her germ-filled lips and says, okay, you're whole and perfect, go play. And so the next day, the child injures its knee and it comes in and its daddy says, "Jeff, nothing to it." And then the next day, the child comes in and Aunt Tilly is visiting with her kids and her kids come up and say, oh, you got an injured knee. Oh, you're going to lose your leg. They're going to amputate. They're going to do this. They're all the interpretation. Now, if you keep it to yourself, if it's none of anybody's business, you just say, I'm whole and perfect. You live with your wholeness and your perfection. Then you are your wholeness and your perfection. But you cannot be it if you're going to go around sharing what you want other people to interpret it as. Now, if you want your mom to interpret that blotch of dirt on a piece of paper as something, then you have to tell her. And if you call it good, then it'll be good. Because she'll see exactly what you see, because she sees through your eyes as you describe it to her. And so the divine in you sees through your eyes what your body is. And if you have a little pain here or there, you have a little ache here or there, you have a little hurt here or there, your body is going to see that as real through the eyes of your mind. But if your eyes are like the eyes of the Christ, like the eyes of Jesus, what did Jesus say? What do you want me to see there? What wouldst thou of me? What do you want me to see there? What do you want me to see? The greatest psychologist in all the universe, and 2,000 years ago, and we still haven't picked it up, you know. He says, what do you want me to see? And you say, I'm whole and perfect. That's the way I see it. Okay, go and sin no more. Stop saying bad things about yourself. Stop saying, I'm not whole and perfect. Stop saying, I'm not happy. Stop saying all those things. And start saying, I am whole and perfect. I am happy. I am wonderful. You see, we live in a world of illusion. And the illusions are constantly changing. But the illusions are based upon truth. And we don't want to get to the truth, because the truth is always there. But we want to base all of our thinking on the truth. And the truth is that we are divine. The truth is that we are whole and perfect. The truth is that every organ, action, function of our body is absolutely perfect at all times. If you get one little twinkle in your tummy, that in your heart or your leg or your eyes or whatever, that says you got a problem, you immediately say, I'm whole and perfect. You immediately say, all is in divine order. Now, you're a practitioner, and you have problems. My God, my God, my God, the world's coming to an end. You're a practitioner, and you got problems. Well, I don't like to be around people like that. People like that are not really loving people. Because a loving person would ignore it. The mother ignores the injury to her son's knee and just says, you're whole and perfect, go play. The world ignores our injuries, and our body ignores our injuries when we don't give them any attention. You say, well, how has come this person's got this and that person's got this? Because they're thinking about it. Because their doctors have told them that it's there. Because they allowed it to happen. They allowed these things to take place in their life, and they're thinking about it. And it's not that it's really there, because what is the purpose of it? To go away. It's to be healed, right? And is it to stay forever and ever and ever? No. It's a temporary, illusionary thing. So now, why don't we make it more illusionary and have it be totally unseen, undone, never there, never there at all, never there at all. And the only way we can have it never be there at all is when we say 100% of the time, I'm whole and perfect. When we say 100% of the time, kiss it, go play, you know. No more attention than that. I'm not kissing it because it hurt. I'm just kissing it because you want me to be aware of it. And my awareness of it is my kiss of love and unconditional love. Go and play and have fun and have a great day. You see, these are the things that life gives to us. These are the things that we do. And how silly we are. How silly we are. What wouldst thou of me? What did the little child want from its mother? It wanted its mother's seal of approval that it was okay. Blood gushing out everywhere, and mother says, wash it off, lick it off. What do we do when we have a wound? We lick it, you know. What do we do when we have something that's going badly in our life or our affairs? We love it. But when we don't love it, when we look at it negatively, when we empower it negatively, then it exacerbates, it grows, it grows, it grows. It becomes something that's uncontrollable. It's a cancer that is out of control, and it'll be out of control until we love it. Not that we love the injury, but we love the body that the injury is expressing in. We love the life that the injury is expressing in. And when we love that, then we would never do anything to it that would say that it was less than wonderful, less than perfect. Ellen Jeremy, can you imagine going to your son, Diego, and saying, Diego, you broke your leg. Forever and ever you're going to have a broken leg. Oh, Diego, oh dear. You're not so stupid. Because you're aware that the leg will heal. You're aware that life goes on. You're aware that given a certain amount of time, the leg will be forgotten. Totally forgotten. And back in normal. Well, now, have it be normal now. You don't do that to your son because you know. Even if you're worried, you still know. And you speak the truth for him, and you have him think, I have a perfect leg. You have that everywhere in your world. When Anita calls and she says, why are you doing things so fast? What you say is, hey, just my routine. I got them out now, and I'm working on them, and I'm asking you, because now is the time that I'm doing it, and I want to finish it for you. And I want to finish it for me, too. And I'm so proud of you for doing it. I'm so proud of everything you've done, your exquisite quality of creating everything and putting everything together. Now, whatever may be bothering you from the outside, let it go. It's not important. The only thing that's important is Anita the most magnificent woman in the world?
Yes.
Is Ellen the most magnificent woman in the world?
Yes.
Is Herb the most magnificent guy in the world?
Yes.
Are we living in a world where Sylvia is the most magnificent,
yes,
and Stefan's the most,
yes,
magnificent? Everybody's magnificent.
Yes.
Everybody. And we don't care.
Right.
We don't care how they may stumble or how they may bleed. We just kiss it and say, all is okay.
Oh, nice.
And then whatever is the problem, it no longer has any power to be, and only love stays with me.
Oh, how nice.
I love you.
I love you. That's
I love you. I love you.
I love you, too.